Amen. I greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you happy to be in the service of the Lord this morning? Amen. I'm not sure whether it's Brother Giwa is here. Is Brother Giwa here? Okay, all right. There's somebody that I was expecting. If he's not here, it's not a problem. Amen. Now, without waste of time, let us turn to our Bibles. Wednesday, we are not here. There won't be a service on Wednesday. Amen. Just be in prayer for me. I will be going to Zimbabwe on Thursday. I solicit your prayers. Amen. But make sure that you do attend the services that have been mentioned. I understand Brother Makula has got services as well. So any service within reach, just go there and support. Amen. Don't stay at home. Amen. Now, without waste of time, let us go to the book of Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 33. We'll just read that single verse there. We are back here. It's the Sunday after the Good Friday is the 8th, ne? Am I correct? All right, so we are back here on the 8th. Amen. On Sunday the 8th. Are we together? Amen. Is it found? Amen. It reads in this manner, if it is found. Verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. I want this phrase to be at the top of your mind. There they crucified him, and the malefactors, and one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Amen. There, they crucified him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. Hebrews 6, from verse 4 to 6. It reads in this manner, if it is found. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And the phrase that I would want you to keep at the top of your mind, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we wanted to speak to you first as the author of life. And Lord, we have opened this holy book. Lord, we know that we can attempt to read, but we have been warned that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And that is why we need your Spirit, so that when we read and speak this morning, there must be an impartation of life unto the people, dear God. Many people need you more than they realize, especially in the hour where we are in. We can see that things are falling apart. And as much as every renowned man would want to come with programs to try to salvage of what remains of this earth, it seems like day by day we can see that the lunatic men have come into office of power. But we are glad that as much as they can know the nuclear codes, they will not be able to press the button, because the bride of Jesus Christ is still upon the face of the earth. Lord, we can see natural disasters that were unthought of, and even in regions where it was unthought of, we see floods, people being destroyed, dear God. And our prophet has told us that these are the birth pains, because this earth is about to bring forth a new world. And my desire this morning, dear God, to even we as believers, we have our own birth pains, persecutions, a lot of things going haywire. But the beauty about it, as the mother giveth birth to a son or a daughter, once the birth has taken place, they think not of the pain, dear God. I'm glad that there is coming a morning where we'll not think of the pain anymore. We will be ushered into the glory land. My desire this morning, may you speak to the people. And as you speak to them, do not put me aside. Involve me, dear God. Because a lot of times the preachers speak to the people without them being spoken to. My desire is that whatever you're going to do in the service, let me be part of it, dear God. Standing here as the channel through which you'll speak to your people, and I am depending solemnly on you, dear God. May there be a conviction this morning. May there be a healing this morning. May there be a deliverance this morning. Whatever is needed in the building, may you make it accessible, dear God. I want, when we come to the end of the service, which is my desire, which I know it is your desire, for the people to say, indeed, the devil is a liar. God's word is still powerful in the end time. Lord, we are going to show what happened 2,000 years ago, that we are now seeing the replica of what happened 2,000 years ago. We need you, dear God. May you move from seat to seat, minister to the people's needs, dear God. You are such a gracious God, as we commit the reading of the word to you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. While you take your seats. Amen. Just a couple of minutes. I just want us to speak on the bleeding word. Amen. The bleeding word. Amen. The word that bled or that is bleeding. Amen. Are we together? And I came across this phrase where the prophet was speaking about the bleeding word. And then he took me to the scripture where Paul spoke that if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, already the scripture paints a picture to you that it is possible to crucify the Son of God again, or to crucify him afresh. Are you with me? Amen. So the first Calvary was not just a single event. It can still reoccur. And I went where the prophet spoke on the message, the indictment. The message, the indictment, He emphasized on the phrase that I said you need to put at the top of your mind, where he said, there they crucified him. And we've got to identify, where is this place, who are these people, and who was crucified? Are we together? There's never been any time in the history of humankind where we have ever had a prophet that brought what he called an indictment. An indictment is a formal charge of accusation of a serious crime. And the prophet in the end time, he came and preached the message, an indictment. Are you here, church?
Amen.
And he said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when you read the phrase that I just said you need to keep at the top of your mind, it says there, and the prophet says, Jesus Christ was not killed or crucified in Babylon. He was not killed and crucified in Egypt, but he was killed and crucified in the most holy city, Jerusalem. Are we together?
Yes.
And he says, there, the most holy city in the world, Jerusalem, there, the most religious city in the world. We know that for you to be a worshiper, there had to be a pilgrimage that you had to do to Jerusalem once a year. You remember? So it was, if I can put it for a lack of a better word, it was the capital of worship. Hallelujah. You could not worship without associating with Jerusalem. Are we together? But right there, the most holy city is where he was crucified. And it says, they, who are these people? Jesus was not crucified by gangsters. Jesus Christ was not crucified by ungodly people or unholy people, if I could put it that way. It says the most religious people in the world, at the religious feast, which was the feast of the Passover, there, the most religious spot, the most religious city, the greatest, the head of all of it, there they, the most religious people in the world, had gathered from all over the world, and the most religious people crucified him. Are we together? He did not die at the hands of the infidels. He died at the hands of the people that claimed to worship. Are you here, church? Hallelujah. They, the Jerusalem, they, the most religious people, crucified him. And who is this him? The Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He says they crucified him, the most shameful death that could a person or could be there. He was stripped naked. His clothes were stripped naked. He was despised and he died on the tree. Are we together? So in the most holy place, by the most religious people, the Holy One was killed. That on its own, you can sense like it's an oxymoron, because you would think that in the most holy place, the most religious people should embrace the Holy One. But that was not the case. The most holy place became a crime scene where the most holy one was killed by the most holy people. And Paul comes to show us the possibility that we can crucify the Son of God afresh. Are we together?
Amen.
Now, what do we mean when we say you can crucify the Son of God afresh? But before I get to the God in the book of Numbers, he instructs Moses, he says to Moses, you go and strike the rock once and the water will come from the rock. But Moses, because of short temper and because of the pressure, he went and hit the rock twice. You hear, church? And the hitting of the rock, Brother Branham says, it represented Calvary. He was supposed to hit the rock once, But let me put it to you, God will still stay with his wrong prophet, because God will never disown the prophet. Are you here, church? If you are going to sit in the corner and say, but the way it said Moses should strike the rock once, but he struck it twice, therefore he's not the man of God. God is not going to join you in your corner. Hallelujah. Worship is not a protest movement. It is a predestination, and God's grace is sovereign. Are we together? God doesn't look at the majority on looking at the popular appeal. He looks at his weight, and if he sends his servant, he's going to stay with his servant. Amen. Hallelujah. How many mistakes did Moses make, but he remained with Moses? Amen. Hallelujah. How many mistakes did prophets make, but he remained with the prophet? Do you think that he's going to leave this one in the end time? He will remain with him. I rather remain with a prophet that is wrong than a religious man that claims to be right. Because God will never disown his prophet. And that's why Brother Branham, he speaks a profound way. He says, even if you don't understand what I'm talking about, believe it. And he says, at the day of judgment, I will take a stance for everything that I've ever spoken. Are we together, folks? So you're now being relieved of the responsibility of carrying a burden on your shoulders. All you've got to do, believe. Take God at his word. The prophet will take accountability. And that is why you see us speaking nothing else except what is already in the tapes. Because we know if we say anything else that is not in the tapes, the prophet will disown that and say, it sounds like a fancy revelation, but I never said that. Are you here, church? You've got to be careful of fancy revelation, because behind fancy revelation, there is no promise that anyone is going to take accountability for that. All the fivefold ministry, wherever they are preaching around to the world, no one has got the backbone to take a stand at the day of judgment and say, I will be accountable. But the prophet of the hour said, I will take responsibility and leave me with my prophet. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm more safer in the prophetic zone than anywhere else. Are we together? Now, Moses struck the rock twice, which the prophet said represented Calvary. And we had Calvary, and after we have had Calvary, Moses struck the rock twice. And we only understood later on why Moses struck the rock twice, because the prophet comes, he makes a profound statement. He says, there is a second Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. Where the word was crucified. 2,000 years ago, the word became flesh and was crucified on the cross. But in the end time, the prophet brings an indictment and he says, they have crucified the Son of God afresh. Are we together? Then it shows that Moses may have been wrong there, but he was not necessarily wrong. Are we together? If you don't have a long-range vision, you could have concluded that Moses was wrong. But Moses, goodness, God's prophet will always operate within the parameters of the scripture. Hallelujah. Adam, it looked like he was wrong when he followed Eve into what Eve had done. Isn't it so? He should have known better. But we only realize later when Paul says, actually, Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. And we understand that the reason Adam went into deception willingly is because that was the only way that he could save Eve from what was going to happen. So don't judge things at face value. Wait upon the face of the Lord, because at the right time, God will prove time and again that my prophet can never be wrong. Are we together? If you ever think that the prophet is wrong, know that you are wrong. Hallelujah. And no one can correct the prophet. I say no one can correct the prophet. Hallelujah. And I've realized people think that they can correct the prophet. Because all, especially as black people, we love Martin Luther King very much. Wherever you go, we quote him and say, I have a dream. Amen. And then a lot of times, whenever they go and read where Brother Branham says, I disagree with Martin Luther, people stop and say, Martin Luther is our hero. Amen. Hallelujah. Civil rights movement leader. The prophet is not excited by what you see on the surface. Amen. He traces things for how they have evolved. Are we together? He realized that through Martin Luther, the black people in America were now going to turn their back on Abraham Lincoln, who set them free. Are we together? And they were going to give that vote to J.F. Kennedy, and J.F. Kennedy came from the Catholic background, and Brother Branham said, from that time, no one will occupy the White House without having the Catholic vote. So you are looking at it, that's why don't go with political slogans. Go with the spiritual move of God. Politics often miss the mark, but you need the prophetic eye, because he that you consider to be a hero, once you bring them under the prophetic eye, then we may find that actually the person is not a hero. And he that you consider that is not a hero, once they come under the prophetic eye, you may find out that there is a hero. Are we together? And that's why when you are a message believer, you need not to be an embodiment of current opinions. You've got to stay with the word and never interpret events based on your knowledge, but interpret events based on the word of God. I hope we are together there. Now, and Brother Brim was not wrong. Later on, there was an uprising. A lot of people died. And Brother Brim said, you see, I told you. I wish I could have had a word with Martin Luther. Right. Amen. Are you still with me? Amen. Now, in what way can you crucify Jesus Christ afresh? I would imagine in the building this morning, none of you would want to be guilty of crucifying Jesus Christ afresh. I would hope that no one would want to come at the day of judgment and you find that there is a charge waiting for you and it says you have crucified him for the second time. Because how he died, it was the most cruel death, men that hung on the tree completely naked. The raiment cloth that they put on the picture came later on, but he was completely naked and he hung on the cross and he cried to the top of his voice and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He asked for water, they gave him the vinegar, and they pierced it by his side, and he gave up the ghost. And right there, even in the midst of that ordeal, the woman cried and he said, woman, do not cry for me, cry for thyself. And he was hanging there and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. You can imagine, if I could just paint a picture, the medical aspect of the cross, you were meant to die by suffocation. The weight of your body prevented you from breathing easily. That means as he was hanging on the cross in that position, for you to inhale and exhale, that means from time to time he had to pull his body and using the nails as a support to pull the body up in order to inhale, and he will exhale and the body will drop and he will come back. And you can imagine the excruciating pain from the nail holes. It was, how can humanity do something like that? And later, when they wanted you to die quicker, they would come and break your legs so that there is no movement that you can make in terms of inhaling and exhaling, and then you would die by suffocation. It was the most cruel death. Until the people said, when Pilate looked and said, but I do not find him guilty, they said, leave his blood upon us and our children. That means humanity was angry. They even had to set the murderer free. And they said, but this one, we are taking him on the cross. The one that was not guilty of anything. Are we together? Now, you would not want to be at the day of judgment to be part of that number and say, you did it again. Are we together? Now, and we need to sensitize you, or how can you crucify him for the second time? And we see these days some have taken over the internet. They are crucifying him for the second time over their websites.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Amen. I like it how, I think it's Brother Chitsinda says, we used to have the Jebusites, we used to have the Amalekites, now we've got the websites. Amen. The modern day giants that are taking the message of the hour. And you, if you have made Google your absolute, it's going to disorientate you. Amen. Google had a beginning. It just started in 1998. That's when Google started, before it was Yahoo. So, but this weight started from eternity. Amen. So, we just want to put it across so that you understand the hour in which we are living in. Brother Branham, in the message, a lot of my quotations will be extracts from the message indictment. And wherever I quote elsewhere, I will specify. He says in this message, he says, how can you crucify him for the second time? He makes a phrase that I just took from the book. He says, he crucifies the effects of the weight to the people. Hallelujah. How can you crucify him for the second time when you crucify the effects of the weight to the people? Are we together? And it made me wonder, how can you destroy the effect of the weight to the people? And I'm saying the weight can only be effective depending on the people that embody the weight.
Amen.
Are we together? Amen. Unbelievers are watching you to bring the effect of the weight to them. And if you do something that they don't expect, you are making the word of God to be of non-effect. So I'm simply saying, if we say we are Christians, wherever we are, we've got to bring the effect of the word to the people. People must know that that gentleman, that lady is a Christian. Are we together? And even furthermore, the message can only be effective because Christianity, you do not judge Christianity based on what you read about. You judge Christianity based on how it is lived. Are we together? Whenever you have read about something, you say, give me the proof. That means you are looking for the living embodiment of what is being spoken about. And I'm saying everyone can speak about Christianity, but it's only a specific class of people that can bring the spoken word and make the spoken word to be a living being. Are we together? And I've said it many a times in this church. I say the devil is not worried about the Bible. He can sponsor the printing of the Bible and distribute the Bible all over. Every hotel room that you went to, it had a Bible next to it, which is next to the bed. He's got no worry. But the worry is when what is written in the Bible becomes an embodiment, because that is now a threat to the devil. The weight made flesh becomes the threat to the devil. The devil does not have a problem with sermons. He does not have a problem with buildings. We can meet here week in and week out. He's got no problem at all. He can actually even grant us the special permission to have as many meetings as we want. But the moment what is written becomes a living being, then the persecution starts. Because that's exactly what threatens the devil. Don't just profess it the way. Live the way. When you live the way, you become a threat to the kingdom of David. He wants us to confess without possessing. A possessor is more dangerous to the economy of David.
Are you here, church? Are you here, young sisters? You can never be persecuted when you just sympathize with the message. But the moment you begin to worry that you want every outer of the message to be there in your life, then you begin to see persecution coming. It can come in the form of family or friends or colleagues. But I say remain on the cause because you are on the right cause. We are not interested in confession. Everybody can confess, but we are looking at the people that can say, I'm not just confessing. What I confess, it is in me. I can exhibit that to the world and say, Christ that you have heard about is living in this people. Church. Amen. The effects. You, as a parent, you can destroy the effect of the word to your children. As the pastor, I can destroy the effect of the word to the church. And the moment the effect of the word is betrayed, then there is an element of crucifying him afresh. What is it? When the word is fulfilled for the hour, and after it has been vindicated, then you deny it, dismiss it. You are guilty of crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ for the second time. I can take it further. If you follow any doctrine that is not authenticated by the word, you are guilty of the crucifixion of Christ for the second time. Because why? It is going to affect the effect of the word to the people. Amen. Crucifies the effects of the word to the people. The second thing, they crucified him by not recognizing God's promised word made manifest. Lack of recognizing the promised of word being made manifest makes you guilty for the second crucifixion of Christ. What does it mean? Brother Roman says we cannot live in the glare of another age. What does it mean? And I'm going to put it across for what it is. God is worshipped dispensationally. If you try to worship God during the time of Jesus, the way they worship God during the time of Moses, there's going to be a disconnect. And every time, whenever you see the word of God not having the effect, they use the prophet that came in the yesteryear to reject the prophet that is coming during their time. When Jesus came, they spoke about Moses. But it does not mean when Moses was around, they believed in Moses. They used it. A human being will always find a scapegoat to refuse to embrace the light of the hour. Are we here, church? John Wesley or Martin Luther was a servant of God. He shook the whole of Germany with the revival, with the power of God. And during the time of Martin Luther, if you were not within his cycle, you were not predestinated. I'm saying that. Because predestination will always lead you to the messenger of your hour. Let's not pretend like it's not like that. You cannot say, I'm predestinated, and God does not redirect you to the messenger of the hour. To show that it is predestination, it will draw you to the messenger of the hour. That's why I've got a problem. You can bring any man that you say, this man is gifted. But always I check, did his gift lead him to the messenger of the hour? Because a real gift will always point you to the messenger of the hour. Cornelius had to come to Paul because Paul was the messenger of the hour.
Are we together? Then you can see the activity that happened around the book of Acts. It was God bringing people from different backgrounds. Yeah. Some were Gentiles, some were Jews. But he was bringing them around the ministry of Paul. Because Paul was the messenger of the hour. You cannot be in Ethiopia and say, praise God, I'm going to worship God. I don't care what he does. No! The Enoch had to go to Jerusalem and had to be connected to the ministry of the apostle because one, it was what God was doing during that time. If God loves you, he will never do anything without letting you know that this is what I'm doing at this point in time. Because there is a supernatural channel that we get connected to no matter where you are at the right time, God brings you back into the fold. Then Luther was taken off the scene. Then Wesley came. John Wesley was a great servant of God. But John Wesley, some people said, no, we all believe in Martin Luther. We won't believe in you when revival broke out in England. Are we together? But God was not going to say, oh, they are loyal to my servant Luther. No. God will never respect the delay of another age. It was good then, but he's looking at what he's doing now. So you had to follow John Wesley. And after John Wesley was taken off the scene, then the restoration of the gifts by the Pentecostals. And God was amongst them. You can see with the Azusa Street how the revival broke out. And God did not respect the Lutherans, did not respect the Wesleyans. Now he respected the Pentecostal. Then all over, they were talking about the latter-day rain. And wherever you go, the restoration of the key, people throwing out their crashes, revival all over. But after that, the season came and went by. And after that, now you see the bride emerging under the fullness, around the fullness of the way. God is not going, oh, I had much better see. God is not going to go back to the Pentecostals. This is the life is moving further, and you've got to follow the life. I know it's sad news for you. God is not going to go because imagine during the time of Moses or Jesus. And after Jesus died, people still brought the lamb to the temple. God is not going to respect that. He will say, no, 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 no. Although I said it during the time of Moses, but under the ministry of Jesus, it was a change of dispensation. And God will never respect the elements of the previous dispensation during the current dispensation. And I'm saying in the end time, God is only working with the bright elect. I just said that. The rapture is not going to happen somewhere in some corner. It will happen among the bright members. That's why your prophecy, the rapturing faith, lies in these messages. We are not looking for anything new, folks. We are right on the right spot. Under this cover, we are at the right spot where the rapture is going to take place. Within the zone of the message of the hour. If you leave the message of the hour, there is no promise of the rapture. I said that. If you leave the message of the hour, there is no promise of the rapture. If you leave the message of the hour, there is no promise of attending the wedding supper. The mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is within the message of your hour. Did you get that one? Amen. I hope you are with me. This message is our promised land. Young people, do you hear me? God is not going to do something fancy outside the zone of the message of the hour. You can go to the attend meeting and be tickled all the way from the head to the toe. It means absolutely nothing if it does not tie up with the message of the hour. And actually, there is no victory over the devil outside the soul of the message of the hour. I hope you are with me. Firstly, when you destroy the effect of the word to the people, you become guilty of the second crucifixion. When you do not recognize God's word promised, that word that is promised made manifest, you are guilty. The third thing that shows that you are crucifying Jesus Christ for the second time, he says, loving doctrine of man-made denominations and dogmas better than they do the vindicated word of God.
Amen.
When you love a man-made doctrine than the vindicated word of the hour, you are guilty of crucifying Jesus Christ for the second time. How do you identify a man-made doctrine? A man-made doctrine cannot survive on its own without being backed up by a personality. I've got a problem if you can teach me or tell him about doctrine and say, this can only be explained by brother so-and-so. Not the Holy Ghost. What happens if brother so-and-so is on sick leave? Are we not going to get revelation from that? Are you a church? You know what I'm talking about. Doctrines are being backed up by personalities. We want this one to come and expound on this thing because he is the only one that can teach it. What happened to the Holy Ghost? What happened when that man dies? And you can see we are now in the zone where people are more personality inclined rather than to be inclined to the vindicated weight of the hour. I'm not saying people are not gifted, folks. People are gifted. Respect the gift, but recognize the giver. Every time when you see a gift, locate the giver. Because sometimes a gift that is not backed up by the giver will lead you astray, even though the gift comes from the giver himself. I don't know whether somebody recognizes what I say. Why? It's because gifts and callings are without repentance. And I'm saying I'm not looking just for the gift. I want to check if the giver follows the gift. Because if the giver does not follow the gift, and the gift is genuine, it will take me to hell. All the people that are singing rock and roll, they are gifted, and the gift they do not find from the David. That gift comes from the Almighty God. But the giver did not follow the gift. That's why the gift was perverted. Oh, the Beatles, when they sing, the Brother Brown said they even made people to jump out of the wheelchair. They even said that the manager of Beatles said, the next campaign, we need to go on a revival campaign. Oh, goodness, but wherever they sang, women took off their underwear, threw them onto the most the filthiest people. But yeah, under that first ministry, a man on a wheelchair can walk out and be healed. And you want to tell me that you're looking for a man to walk out of a wheelchair? A witch doctor can do that. A gift without being followed by the giver is perverted. And I'm glad in the end time we had a gift. But not just a gift. The giver followed the gift. The Lord himself shall descend. And he descended in the end time. Don't just follow a gift. Check who's behind the gift. The devil can hijack any gift. I said the devil can hijack any gift. But the devil will never hijack the word. Is there the word behind the gift? And I think the most corrupt people in the end time are gifted people. I said that. They went on campaigns and they messed up the people's mind. They made the word of God to be of none effect. I don't say Bushiru will not heal you. He will heal you, but it does not change the fact he is false anointed. I said that and I'm not afraid of that. I'm glad Botswana, just one of the snake pastor, as soon as he landed in Botswana, Botswana was ready with a new flight to take him back home. Botswana, what South Africa embraces, Botswana rejects. South Africa has become a dumping ground of the spirits on the continent because people have got no backbone. And South Africa, they ask Bushiri. Bushiri is not popular in Malawi. He says, no, the problem in Malawi, people are looking for God. And the people in South Africa for miracles. I said that. In my country, they are looking for God. South Africa, they are looking for miracles. I'm glad the bride of Jesus Christ. They are not looking for miracles. They are not looking for gifts. They are looking for the giver. We're not going to entertain people that keep on saying, if God is with us, we are the miracles. We are the miracles. For me to live above the influence of the devil, to live above the power of the devil, that is a greater miracle.
Amen.
Oh, I want to see people walking out of a wheelchair. For what? For what? You think God is a puppet?
Amen.
Just to wow you. And you go back and live in sin.
Come on.
Huh? We're not going to get there. Brother, say the church of God is taken to a greater sphere where there will be the embodiment of the word. And I'm saying, folks, I've got breaking news. It is this season. It is this hour. Not the sons of God today, these sons of God. Not the daughters of God there, these daughters of God. They will take the message. They will take the tape. And they will take everything that is on the tape. And they will embody that. They will become God's billboard in the end time. They will not follow Ushiri. They will not follow all these fanatics. They will remain with the word of God. Amen. There won't be many. There will be a handful. If you judge things by crowd numbers, you are so myopic. Two-thirds of heaven followed Lucifer. Brahma says they are a majority. Oh, when are we filling up the stadium? For what? For what? If God wants to fill it, good. But we're not going to go out of our way and say, we need to fill up the stadium. For what? We don't want him to fill up the stadium. We want him to fill up this stadium. Amen. Man-made doctrine. We've got plenty of them. I don't know, some people are just anointed of coming with new doctrines every day. Because ministers are under pressure to perform and appeal to the audience so that after the service they can pat him on the back. You put it nicely, man of God. There's no one like you. Massage his ego. There are times when leaders mislead followers, and there are times when followers mislead leaders. Are we together? You've got a special revelation. You're the greatest teacher. They'll even go and find something in the scripture and say, in our time, you are the one that has got access to the storehouse. And people get mesmerized by these things, and they begin to leave the principles of Christ for man-made doctrines. I don't care how fancy your doctrine is. Show me how you live from day to day. And let me see if there is a victory in your life. Because the devil is not going to... The devil, you can't bluff the devil. No, the devil, you cannot bluff the devil. He knows the real stuff. You remember I once told you about guys that went on a hunting that put on a zebra costume. And they came there and they mingled with the zebras. It was two guys in a zebra costume. One was the legs. The other one was the front legs. And they matched in the zebra costume. And they were moving around. They joined the zebras. And the zebra could see that this walk is not a zebra. You can never impersonate the nature.
Exactly.
If you had a chicken, he was going to show.
Yeah.
In no time that we've got brother chicken. The nature will come to the surface. And if you are an eagle, the nature will come to the surface. That this is brother is the eagle. Now, these gentlemen, they went there, mingled with the zebras. As they were busy mingling with the zebras, having a nice thing. And they had their other colleagues that were taking shots of them. It was nice. But in no time, lions came from nowhere. And they started charging towards the zebras. But because the real zebras had the nature of a zebra, they jumped off. The folks couldn't jump. They were stuck in the costume. Don't ever go to the devil impersonating what you are not. He will bring you down. That's why he said, don't go and preach the gospel. Tear in Jerusalem until you are endued with the power from above. Then you can go out preaching the gospel. If you ever attempt to fight the devil without the Holy Ghost, you are really... you're going to be victimized. Amen. But I remember in the message of the indictment, he says, after we have received the knowledge of the word of God, you get it from a knowledge, from reading and seeing it, and then reject it, then you, it's impossible for you to ever be saved. I will read so that you grasp the gravity of the statement. After you have received the knowledge of the word of God, you get it from a knowledge. Knowledge how? Reading and seeing it. Then reject it. Then you, it's impossible for you to ever be saved. If you read a book, and what you see in the book, you see it being demonstrated by God or vindicated by God, and you reject it. It is impossible for you to be saved.
Amen. Yes,
sir. And Brother Abraham goes further. In the message, Souls That Are in Prison, paragraph 299, he says, one of these days, if you haven't already, you'll cross the line. Remember, folks, whenever you play, there is a line of mercy and judgment. And as you play, if you ever cross that line, there's no more hope for you. You're gone. It does not mean that the gospel will not be preached to you. You can still enjoy the gospel, but while you have crossed the line, He says, one of these days, if you haven't already, you'll cross that line. You will never desire no more to do what's right. Did you hear? He says, did you hear what's said? It's a matter. Brother, sister, do you realize what's been said? You will cross that line. You will never want to do it. You'll still hear the gospel, sure, but you will never accept it. Because you have crossed over the line. So I'm saying, whatever you do, make sure you don't cross that line. Because as soon as you cross it, you'll never desire no more. And how? Let me put it this way. If you ever do a wrong thing and still come to church and be blessed, I've got sad news for you. You may have crossed it. You may have crossed the line. Because when the word comes to a person that is wrong but is a child of God, it brings a condemnation. You feel that this is not right. I've got to change. But if you get to a point where you live any kind of life, it's fine. Be more worried if you are blessed when you are in the wrong. It tells you that something is fundamentally wrong. Because he that is wrong, hallelujah, he that is wrong and that is still savable, they've got condemnation. And I'm worried in our time, backsliders in our time are more daring than backsliders when we were growing up. Backsliders when we were growing up, when they saw the children of God, they used to hide. They wish to be condemned. But backsliders today, they just take the shots, post on social media. and you message people you like them while you are in the midst. How you as a long-dressed sister, like somebody who's wearing shorts, post on the media, and you say you are condoning a wrong behavior. I said you are condoning a wrong behavior. You look cool. What spectacles are you wearing to pass that compliment? You know why backsliders are afraid to come back, are no longer respecting us? It's because they leave church, but there's still no people in church that they sing together with. They know the sister in the choir is as sinful as she can be. Once church is done, we'll meet up somewhere. It's not that I don't have the strength to go to church, she's got strength to go to church. I'm saying it.
Amen.
I'm saying it.
Amen.
Because that's what it takes the word to make the word of God to be of none effect.
Amen.
If brother A backslides and drinks and befriends brother B, who's still in church, and they drink together, what are the chances that brother A will come back to church? Zero chances. Why are the backsliders no longer feeling condemned? They know that the church does not have the backbone. They may be even knowing the pastor's daughter or son is in this mess. Why? You'll cross that line and you'll desire no more to do what's good. And by so doing, you'll be crucifying Jesus Christ for the second time. Are you with me?
Amen.
And Brother Branham says in the very same message, he says, God of heaven will raise up, my voice will be on the magnetic tape of God's great time yonder. It will condemn this generation in the last day. It's on magnetic tape then. It will be on the eternal tape then. You are as sure as you can be that the same tapes that we are listening to when we meet at the day of judgment, they will be replayed. And those that made mockery out of it, you know the Bible says at the judgment, the unrighteous will say, God, you have judged justly. And I ask myself, what would make an unrighteous man not to protest and to see the judges judge justly? It's because everything that they have ever done will be beamed on that screen.
Amen.
Until they themselves would know which way they need to take. Brother Branham says, think of it. Still the message in indictment. His hardest pieces, where he is broken into pieces, comes from the pulpit. That's where his new Calvary is at. They crucify him, the word, at the pulpit.
Amen.
And how do we crucify him as ministers? We have swapped the word for motivational talk.
Amen.
Instead of bringing conviction, we want people to have a va-va-voom. I'm going to do that. Oh, brother, it's about time. It's the planting season. I'm going to start that business. It will boom. It will bust if you are not living right. Are we together? We are in a boom-bust world. If it booms, it will bust. But if you boom spiritually, you will never bust. Are we together? Yes, what we've got these days, it doesn't bring conviction to the people anymore. It's just motivational talk. That's why, I mean, I've seen these shiny suit pastors, whenever they're at the funeral next to the grave, they don't even know what to talk. Because all they know is seven principles of financial freedom. But this man is dead. There's no chance for freedom. He's got to preach about the resurrection. He's got no message at all. But the message of Christ is based upon the resurrection.
Amen.
And some people are beginning to even to detest the gospel of blood. They say, why is it? It's a blood affair, my brother. It's dripping with blood.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And even in the end time, Brother Bloom said, the way it is bleeding, if it means that he is being crucified for the second time, it tells me the way it in 1963 was bleeding again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And there's never been any time where God has ever brought life without the blood.
Amen.
Because life is in the blood.
Amen.
If you don't need a bloody gospel, you don't need life. Did you hear that?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to get into that one. He says, in the message of greater than Solomon is here, paragraph 308, it says, that's what you are to multiplication of self. When you know where you come from, a holy law, wedlock between father and mother, then you came as a little tiny cell. If I was going to tear your body down tonight, take it cell by cell, it will come down to one little cell. Inside of that cell, there is blood. Inside of that blood, there is life. And inside the blood is the life, and that life is you. So that means when you were formed, it was just this tiny cell that can only be seen by a microscope. But then there was a multiplication of cells. Hallelujah. And then you grow into the stature that you are. But if we were to reduce you as a big man and break you cell by cell, we'll go back to that tiny cell. But it says within that tiny cell there is blood. And within that blood there is life. Are we together? In your body, and he will say it here. He says, it's a perfect place in the message things that are to be. He says, it's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. You have to be perfect to get there. The Bible said so. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a perfect kingdom. It must be a perfect people coming into it, because you have to stand and be married to a perfect son of God, and you must be a perfect bride. And I had much better say, God will never receive anything less than that. So how can you do it through anything else but the perfect way? So that means if you are going to a perfect kingdom to get married to a perfect son of God, and you've got to be a perfect bride, you've got to find something that perfects you. And motivational talk cannot perfect you. Seminary cannot perfect you. So how can you do it through anything else but the perfect word of God, which is the waters of separation that washes us from our sins? That's right. The blood of Jesus Christ, think of it, the dripping, bloody weight. The blood, the weight of God is bleeding blood to wash the bride in. Yes, sir, she stands perfect. Vision, unadulterated. She never sinned in the first place. She was trapped into it. Hallelujah. You never sinned in the first place. You were trapped into it. The devil is a con man. He conned you, took your identity, and committed evil deeds. But the prophet said, you were trapped into it. What happens when you are trapped into something? When they help you, immediately you run out. But if you belong to it, you are fine, you are comfortable, because it's your own thing. He continues to say in the message, things that are to be pure. This is the invisible union of the bride, 274. Pure, unadulterated. Oh, hallelujah. Living soon for the skies. Amen. Standing ready. Think, your garments washed by the water of the bleeding word. The word became blood. And the word bled for you. You are washed in bleeding word. And actually, Brother Branham says in one message, he says God is perfected in three. How many remember that? You've got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You are a body, spirit, soul. You are perfected in three. And Brother Branham later says, life is in the third. Isn't it so? Hallelujah. Because three means perfection. And I was thinking there, I say, then if that is the case, why do we only have two Calvary? The one that happened in Jerusalem and the one that happened in 1963 after the opening of the way. God said, no. There is another one that never happened on the earth. For the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The Bible said the lamb was, not it was foreordained to be slain. It was slain in the before the foundation of the world. Are you here, church?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
I can read that for you in the serpent seed paragraph, right at the beginning when he prayed. He says, dear God, the great and mighty God, who formed all things by the power of his spirit and has brought Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, he's praying, who freely died for we sinners, the just for the unjust, to reconcile us back into this marvelous fellowship that we have again with God, as we are taught in the blessed word, that we had fellowship with him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, way back before the foundation of the world, how do we know that that wasn't at the same time that the lamb was slain? For when God in his great thinking saw us shouting and rejoicing in salvation through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And our prophet says, when the morning stars sang and the sons of God shouted for joy, he said, could it be that it was exactly the same time when the lamb was slain? What does it mean? If you never accepted Calvary in his mind, you will never accept the one that happened in Jerusalem.
Amen.
I'm saying life is in the blood. Brother Branham says in this message, or the scripture says in Leviticus 17, verse 11, you need to read it, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why we don't eat blood. Are we together? Then he says in this message, and he explains how cancer is formed, and he moves to how cancer starts, and he shows what happens spiritually. God's provided way of healing. Now, a cancer in the natural realms would be a scavenger. It's a dead substance. A cancer comes from a bruise. A bruised cell usually is where it comes from. The cell is bruised, all meshed up. It's otherwise, the cell is backslidden.
Right.
Cancer goes through the body through a backslidden cell.
Amen.
Are you here, church? Don't sleep on me now. If something happens in there that fails to get the function of blood to it, it dies. Do you see? And through there, Satan, the author of death, which God is the author of life, Satan, the author of death, puts a demon in there. In what? In a cell that fails to get to the function of the blood. In a cell that is backslidden, then the Satan, the author of death, puts demon right there.
Yes.
And they call it cancer. Cancer is not its name. Medical science just gave it a cancer. The word cancer came from the word crab. It means with legs and things that runs out. Like other diseases, they've given them medical terms. Then that little cancer comes in there. First, it is a spirit.
Amen.
Then it gets into a backslidden cell, which fails to get the functioning of the blood, which is backslidden, a bruised cell, a cell that's not operating right. And we know later that cell replicates itself through the body. So it becomes an unhealthy growth. And that's what they call cancer. He says, oh, I would like to preach the gospel now for 5 minutes if I get the time. That's what happens in the church. When he gets someone failing to operate with the church, someone failing and pulling off, getting indifferent, that's a cancer in the church. Is the devil in that person. And that causes the whole church to be sick. The best thing to do is to have a spiritual operation. If a cell doesn't get the function of the blood and it's backsliding, Satan, the author of death, plants the spirit there. And through that spirit, he brings a wrong growth. Brother Bram said, to fix that, you need spiritual operation. What does it mean? It means all of us here this morning, we've got to be vigilant and say, devil, if you're going to come, you're not going to come through me. I'll get the covering of the blood. I will hide under the blood. God, cover me under the blood. Because when I'm not under the blood, I'm not getting the functioning of the blood right. And what happens? I become a wild cell. And David, the author of death, comes and plants a spirit. And through that, he replicates himself. But what is needed? Spiritual operation. Are we together? Excommunication is not a bad thing, folks. Excommunication is spiritual operation. If we try to show you and say, this is how it needs to be done, you keep on doing what you are doing. At some point in time, we say, stay at home. It does not mean we don't love you, but we realize that the way you are growing in the wrong way, it will bring a wrong cancer in the church. And the reason the church is contaminated and the cancer is spreading so fast in the church is because the surgeons, who are the pastors and ministers, who should have performed spiritual operation, they are afraid to do that. Hallelujah. They are afraid to do that. Because a lot of time, in all fairness, they are driven by what you put on the plate on Sunday morning. It has become a meal ticket. Amen. Are you with me, folks? Are you here, sisters? That's why never in this church, never be afraid of anyone. If somebody is not dressed right, pull them aside. Because if you don't perform spiritual operation, it's going to rub off somebody. Before you know it, the whole church looks like that. But it started with somebody that we are afraid to correct for whatever reason. You need not to be afraid to correct. If it is wrong, wrong. If they are angry with you, they'll come around right. But you need to be obligated to be loyal to the word of God. Are we together?
Amen.
Amen. And the church that will survive in the end time is a church that has a backbone. Brothers and sisters that are not afraid of one another, they can call each other aside and say, my sister, it is not right. Are we together?
Amen.
Are you here, sisters? Do you allow me to preach over there? Do you allow me to preach over there? You've got a dress that you love. You've got sentimental value to it. But over time, because you enjoy KFC and McDonald's, then you outgrow the dress, but you still love the dress. But you still want to come to the service with the dress that you have outgrown. And it shows every move, every part of your body. And you say people must not call you out. If they call you out, you are offended, you become angry. We are not going to bow down to that. We need to keep the church of the living God clean. And deacons must never be afraid of that. If the sister is not dressed right, she must be corrected.
Amen.
Even if they go and report you to their family member, the whole family is angry. You are a deacon carrying out the responsibilities of being a deacon. You are not here to be popular. You are here to be honest. You are not looking on. This is not a smile generating position. It is a weight keeping position. Are you here, church? Then you will see the church coming into a perfect stature. And the devil will begin to respect such church. And God will respect such a church. And healings are going to happen in that church. Brother Brown said a lot of times when healings are not happening, it's because somebody may not be living right among us.
Amen.
When Joshua went into the battle, was promised a victory, men died. Until he said, let us search among ourselves. And they found that one had stolen a Babylon garment. And they dealt with the matter. And after the matter was dealt, then they won the victory. Are you here, church?
Amen.
And I'm simply saying, I don't know how long I'm going to have with you, but don't be afraid to keep and preserve the sanctity of the word. If it makes you unpopular, so be it.
Amen.
But God will respect you.
Amen.
And make sure that every member, like all the cells of the body, they must be under the blood.
Amen.
Being covered so that no foreign spirit can overrun you.
Amen.
And I'm simply saying, when he bled on the cross, that weekend, every sin was forgiven.
Amen.
And I'm simply saying, when he died, in the second crucifixion here on earth, and Brother Brown says it's an indictment, I believe that the benefits of the first Calvary happened again in 1963.
Amen.
Because why? The word was crucified afresh. The word bled once more when people embraced man-made doctrines and rejected the vindicated word of God. The prophet said they've crucified him again. And what happened on the cross, the bride came out. And I believe that when the weight was crucified in 1963, another part of the weight came out, which was the bride. That's why this bride is an invincible army. He will not be defeated because he's the weight of his weight. He's the spirit of his spirit. We are in a no retreat, no surrender mood. Forward we go, backwards never. We are convinced about this message because this message gave birth to us.
Amen.
We cannot claim to be of anything else except to be of this message.
Amen.
Are you still with me, folks?
Amen.
Then the way it bled. And I'm saying that way that bled washed you.
Right.
And the prophet comes and he makes a profound statement. He says, do you know you are no longer just forgiven? But you are justified.
Amen.
He says, he makes a bold statement. We know Paul says, I've espoused you as a virgin. But the prophet comes in the end time. He says, now you are Mrs. Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
What is happening? You can never be Mrs. Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ until you have met every requirement.
Amen.
And what made you to meet every requirement? The word bled for you.
Amen.
Your past was, he says, even your name was removed from the book of life, transferred into the Lamb's book of life. I'm not saying you're not going to have ups and downs. But I'm saying when all is said and done, you are coming out of this generation as a victor. If God has got it in the script, the devil cannot change that. You are on, you are homebound. You are going to heaven. Are we together? Are you here, church? Do you understand that you're going to heaven has now become compulsory for you? Even the devil is compelled to allow you to go to heaven.
Amen.
And if you stumble and fall, God is going to bring you back. God, let me tell you something. There is no seat of God that God will allow them to go astray.
Amen.
He will bring you in whatever way. He will bring you back into the fold.
Amen.
You will fall, but you will not remain falling. You will rise again. Because in you there is a DNA of victory. In you there is the word material. And the word material can never be defeated. I'm speaking to a group of people that will never be defeated by the devil. And I'm saying, I'm glad I'm one of them. And you can say, I'm glad I'm one of them. It's not a religious movement. But this is a predestinated move of God that started from heaven. They're the part of the firstborn, the church of the firstborn. They come from eternity. When God said, let us make man in our own image, they were there in attendance.
Amen.
The us includes them because it is the subject of logos.
Yes.
Let us make man in our own image. We were there in attendance and it dropped down Adam to a spiritual being. And it dropped him further to a formation. And you and I came in that way. But in the end time, I want to say, all the people that were in attendance, when they said, let us, when we come on the other side, all of them will be part of us. None of them will be deducted from that us. No, matter what is happening. No matter what is happening. Are you here, brothers? There's no thing that will make you stumble. You are on your way to heaven. The weight was crucified, I came. And that weight is yet to re-energize you. As much as the weight, when he was in the flesh, he died and rose again. They thought they had finished with the ministry of Brother Branham. They thought they had misrepresented him and the message was done. Even now, the website, they think that the message is done. But they forget. The message has got the quickening power. When they buried him in the tomb, within 72 hours, he was on his way to Emmaus. He defied the grave. He defied hell. He defied everything, death itself. And in the end time, they buried the weight, making it to be of none effect. And they say, there's no big deal. The man was wrong. He had it wrong. But guess what? As we are speaking now, more and more are coming into the kingdom of God. Because the gospel, you can never stop the gospel. China now is raving about the message. They are having services there. Uganda, 2 weeks back, they baptized over 500 people. 500 people. If I get my number right. Yeah, it was over 500 people in one day. A queue of people going to be baptized. What made them come? Not a mighty preacher. The brothers, they just went, took the tape of the prophet and edited it so that it can become a 30-minute segment. And they purchased an airtime on Ugandan radio and they played the prophet's voice. And it just started in that entire community. People started talking. Who is this man? They had interpreted it into their own local language. The prophet would speak and the vernacular will come in. And people started hearing message in their own way. And they had 500 people queuing in one day. Amen. What happened? It tells me the tape has not lost its power. Yes, it tells me that when he said this message, we'll go into the jungles of Africa. There's no internet site that can stop that. It's moving into Uganda, it's moving into Zimbabwe, it's moving into Congo, it's moving everywhere. I say no devil can stop this message. Because the word of God shall never return to him void. It will accomplish what it was sent for. And I'm here saying I'm the evidence that this message has not failed. And you're sitting there as the evidence that this message has not failed. It pulled you from diverse background. And here you are as blood-bought children of the living God. Let us praise God. Let us give God the glory. The fact of the message was that this message is the Son of Man on the move. Hear me out. If you yield yourself, surrender yourself to the message, and allow the message to have the preeminence in your life, there is nothing, I repeat, there is nothing, no lust, nothing can derail you in this world. When you give the message a position in your life, you are coming out as a victor. Friends will leave you, family will leave you, but he will not leave you. He said, I will be with you and even in you until the end of the world. And that's why I say, let's glorify God. Because the message of William Branham has not failed. It is producing the bride. Look at our young people, how they dress. Even Muslims, men, they are struggling. Our men, the way they are, if they are fully surrendered to the weight, men of dignity, men of honor, men of integrity, men that make other women to be envious and say, only if our husbands were like that. And if you are not going that way, you are making the way to be of none effect. Wherever you go, you must be a man of reputation that they know
He's a man of his own word. He's consistent. How you see him here at work, how you see him at church, there's consistency. It makes your family to look at you and say the God that we worship is in this man. Are you sisters? The way it makes you dignified young girl. Dressing tight doesn't attract the husband. It actually attracts rubbish. I said it directly. A man that is of substance, he gets attracted by what is in the heart. Not how you are dressed. Hallelujah. And great women, they are covered. When they walk in the streets, even boys, they take off their hat. They don't whistle because of how they are dressed. Are you with me? Because they've got spiritual discernment. And by so doing, we will not be guilty of crucifying Christ for the second time. God bless you richly. As we stand to our feet. Everybody can say, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Agree that he's the Lord. Amen. Just give us another one. Ring King Jesus. Amen.
Reign, King Jesus. Is Brother Giwa here? Are you here, my brother? Okay, let's just sing it. I would want you to come. Brother is from United Kingdom, from Pastor Maliko's church. We just want him and the family to come and greet the church. Amen.
We'll make a way, we'll make a way. away as you rise in the spirit. Away, folks. Oh, if I may, if I may, I will pray. Oh, let my sound the road, sound out of the road, enter the run. Oh, yes, I know. My name is Brother Shelton Giwa, and I'm the song leader for Brother Crosby. When his ministry started, I was a DJ. Well, I was DJ from 1994 in high school, and just the time they started the church, I had a car accident and I broke my ribs, I broke my legs, and one of the elders came to pray for me in hospital. At that same time, myself and my wife, we were going separate ways. On the Friday, we were meant to be separating, and I broke my legs. On the Wednesday, I had a car accident. So that Sunday that followed, we were witnessed to by a message, a church elder in the hospital, and he prayed for me, and my legs became normal. So it was a process. I was given 3 months in hospital. I was discharged after 6 days, and ever since, we started going to Leicester Tabernacle. We've been there since 2007. We have been changed and we've seen God work in our lives. So I don't need much to say. We just want to thank the Lord. That's why I just want to say I know the Lord will make a way for me. I come with my wife, Nozipo. If you can just stand. And and I come with my mama Sana. Amen. My firstborn, Chantel Nyasha. Can you stand, Chantel? She's only 15. I don't want to say hey. I love her visit. And my son, Sean, the second born, Sean Molide. And we have Shalom Ukosi. He's just 7 months, he's joined us as well. For the so we're really happy to be here, and we really apologize. We tried to get early, but being my first time to drive out of Joburg, I got off the long ramp, and we ended up delaying a little bit, but we are glad we had the word, the bleeding word. My wife specifically follows Grandma Diva. She listens to the sermons from this church every Sunday. And we know what happens here, and we know the word is preached, same as our pastor. So we are more inclined to come here than anywhere else. This is our church, we are not visiting. We feel we belong here in the same way, which is being preached, which is not diluted. So we appreciate, we have known Brother Madiba through our pastor whenever he came, and he told us of the great work being done here, and we have met Brother Ntokozi when he came. And we are also friends with his Kosana family. I think my youngest one, the 7 month, he used to listen to his Kosana, such that when we met Brother Todd Friday, he was quite attached to him. So we're just happy to be here. And I think that's about all. I think if we're time, we'll say a lot, but the Lord has done a lot in our lives. And from a DJ, the Lord has allowed me to achieve greater heights. Through the message of the hour, I should say, as someone failed his order was many times, But I should say, each time I would go to university, I'll play a tape and I'll get a revelation. And all my education has been inspired through the pulpit when the word is going forward and my colleagues are in the library. So I'm really grateful for this ministry because I think it's a twin ministry with Brother Mariko, and we look forward to come properly when there's a convention and spend the entire week. God bless you.
A round of applause for the viewers. Good to see you. You can see other people are praying for us across the ocean. Amen. This strength is not ours. It's the strength that comes from the prayers of the saints. Amen. Reign, King Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Free to all the victory. All of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. On the cross. The cross, near the cross, O Lamb of God. Help me walk from day to day. How many say, oh, help me walk from day to day with its shadows over me? In the cross.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Eternal Heavenly Father,
yes,
we thank you once more this afternoon, Lord. We sometimes sing a song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Oh Lord, there is none like thee, Heavenly Father. You are the father for the fatherless, Lord.
Amen.
You are the mother for the motherless, Heavenly Father. You are a friend to those who doesn't have friends, Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you once more. We had, Heavenly Father, as we invited thee, Almighty God, to descend and speak to our hearts. We heard this morning, Heavenly Father, there they crucified him, Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we heard about the bleeding word, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Mighty God, we say, have mercy upon us, Lord.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we heard thy word, Almighty God. We want to meditate upon it, Heavenly Father. On a daily basis, wherever we are, Heavenly Father, we want to worship you, Heavenly Father, by talking about your word, Lord, by meditating upon this word, Heavenly Father. Mighty God, we say we thank you, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Don't have words, Heavenly Father, that we can express, Lord, to say thank you, Heavenly Father, for speaking to our hearts, Heavenly Father. You are always, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you know our needs, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
You know our shortcomings, Lord, and you always come, Heavenly Father, and speak to us. Uplift us, Heavenly Father. Correct us, Heavenly Father. As you always say, Heavenly Father, correction starts in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
So we thank you, Heavenly Father. We say, let the word, Heavenly Father, dwell in us, Almighty God, that we go, Heavenly Father, Almighty Jesus, wherever we are, Heavenly Father, we meditate upon it, Lord. May you bless thy servant, our dear pastor, Heavenly Father. Give him strength, Heavenly Father. Protect him. That is our prayer, Heavenly Father. When he goes, Heavenly Father, to Zimbabwe, Heavenly Father, we say, protect him, Heavenly Father. Give him, Heavenly Father, revelation, Lord. Let him be a blessing, Heavenly Father, to them, Almighty God, because we know, Heavenly Father, that you'll protect him, Heavenly Father, until we meet here again, Heavenly Father. Those who will be going to different Heavenly Father conferences, Lord, may you protect us all, Heavenly Father. May you bless us, Heavenly Father, until we meet again. Protect, Heavenly Father, as we now going to depart, Lord, we say we are asking for a traveling mercy, Lord, that you be with us, Heavenly Father. You keep on blessing us, Lord. We pray and we ask everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and all the church shall agree by saying, Amen.
God bless you richly, and have a wonderful Easter commemorating the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'll be leaving on Thursday for Harare, but you will be in Marondera at Watershed. Amen. And then it will give me an opportunity, because when they had a burial of Pastor Shisa, we had a family, we had a wedding in our family, so it would allow me just to go and see the family as well, and just to encourage them as well. Amen.
Amen.
So have a blessed week. We shall be missing you, but see you on the 8th of April. Amen. It's Sunday. Pray for me as I'm praying for you. Amen. There's a song. They are talking. Have you heard that God can bring a DJ out there and bring a DJ into the church? Amen. So sometimes I often wonder when a preacher would want to fish in another preacher's fishing pond, as such a lazy preacher.
because we've got some drunkards that just need the blood of Jesus Christ to be deacons. We've got some prostitutes, they just need the blood of Jesus Christ to be in the worshiping team. But make sure they come through the blood. Because if they don't come through the blood, it will just be the same DJ there, same DJ here, with same spirit. So there must be an interruption of the spirit. God bless you, Brother Giwa. We really appreciate you and your wife for, I think normally you would see us on the video, listen to us, but it's good that finally, physically, you are in the service. Amen. So we appreciate you. I spoke to your pastor last night, and he told me that you would be in church. Amen. I think Lester and Imalatling, although they are far apart, but they are so close in Amen. Unity. Amen. Brother Tinashe is in the UK, and then he left on Wednesday, so they gave me a call. He said, Pastor, they are treating me very well. I said, they must treat you very well because you are Africa's finest export. Amen. So we thank God. You can see the bride is defying distance. Defying all barriers. And we are emerging as one entity. Amen.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing to rejoice under the banner of the message of the hour? You know, I laughed last night. I was at Pick and Pay River Crescent around 8 o'clock. You know that there is Pick and Pay and there is a liquor store next door. Do you remember? Now, they had the security had just closed the doors of the liquor store. Two gentlemen pulled in the parking lot. They were driving a Jaguar. The way they ran and got to the door and really bowed down to beg to be allowed to get into the liquor store. I say, if all of us can have such a determination when we come to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would be somewhere. And what were they looking for? Stimulation. They wanted alcohol so that they can have a good time. That's how you need to be when you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost to bring you a stimulation. Run to the kingdom of God. Amen. And I said, drunkards run to the liquor store, but believers drag their feet to church. What's happening? Brother, when God is in your heart, you can't wait for the doors to open. As we've got no other outlet to express our joy except in the house of the Lord. So when you see us being joyful, we have no elsewhere to go to express our joy. Those that have got other places, maybe they may say, hey, we need to get done so that they go there. As we've got no other place except here. Amen. That one, thereafter I release you. Have a blessed week or blessed 2 weeks that are coming. And I'll see you the other Sunday. Amen.
We stand and lift our hands for the joy of the Lord in our faith. We bow down, worshiping now, our great, our awesome is He.
Everybody!
Now, how great, how awesome,
how awesome is
the world.
Yes. Men of God.
Say the words of one time.
Hallelujah. What are you? Miriam.